Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, representatives of four organizations behind the largest ever poll of Latino voters in Colorado presented their findings yesterday on the state capitol steps. We'll have an overview. This time on the Cannabis Report, we'll hear about the end of a Denver Citizens Initiative that would have taxed consumer marijuana for children's programs, and the result of a new study casting doubt on the lazy stoner stereotype. And John Lindorf will be in to catch us up on local food news with Radio Nibbles. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's a public affair. Rosana Longobetter talked on Tuesday with members of a coalition of environmentalists about a historic decision to protect the waters from the South Platte River. Then we'll hear about this week's 16th annual Cumbre de Mujeres en Cumbre Juvenil, organized by El Centro Amistad to serve the Spanish-speaking Latino community living in Boulder County. Then at 9:30, Brian Easter will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead. But first, these headlines with KGNU's Luis Licon.
Boulder County residents planning to rebuild homes lost in the Kelwood and Marshall fires will be eligible for a $3,500 tax rebate. The Board of County Commissioners approved this measure Tuesday. To qualify for the rebate, property owners must file building permits by October 31st of 2023 for the Kelwood fire and December 31st of 2024 for the Marshall fire impacted properties. The county stated in a press release that the rebate will cover all or most of the county's use tax for the majority of the affected residents. Boulder County Commissioners also decided at Wednesday's meeting to postpone a vote extending mining permits for Cemex, a cement manufacturing company with a mining site near Lyons. After more than 7 hours of discussion and public comments, the commissioners delayed the vote, which was originally scheduled for the meeting earlier this summer, until the county's September 29th meeting. The return to school can mean more access to mental health, medical, and dental care services for kids. Federally qualified health worker centers serve more than 1 in 7 Coloradans, regardless of their ability to pay, and most operate health centers at Colorado's K-12 schools. Eric Galatas has more.
With school now back in session, many Colorado kids are accessing medical, behavioral, and dental care through school-based health centers, fully functioning clinics offering services just steps from the classroom. Kendra Nagy directs Mountain Family Health Center's 5 school-based clinics. She says the beginning of each school year brings a spike in pediatric care.
We do a lot of well-child visits, so just those annual periodic visits to check in to see how everybody's doing, check on growth and development, and with older patients doing sports physicals.
School-based care is especially important as kids in Colorado and across the U.S. struggle with pandemic-related mental health challenges. Nagy says Mountain Family's integrated team approach to health and wellness, which prioritizes mental health equally alongside medical and dental care, gives students access to top-notch services. Clinicians can also offer specialist referrals as needed. I'm Eric Galatas.
Amtrak announced that it would temporarily suspend most long-distance routes nationwide ahead of a possible rail strike on Friday. The suspended routes include California Zephyr and the Southwest Chief. Railway maintenance workers have been fighting for years to negotiate a new contract for higher hourly wages and pay time off. They say that it needs time to address medical needs without fear of being disciplined. The Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen said in a statement, "This abuse and punitive attendance policy is breaking apart families and causing locomotive engineers and other railroaders to come to work dangerously fatigued." The Denver Mayor Michael Hancock is requesting a record budget for its final year in office. The $1.6 billion proposal represents a 12% increase from last year. Hancock identified 4 spending priorities: affordable housing and homelessness, mental health and community support, public safety, and a plan to revitalize downtown. The city expects more funding from the American Rescue Plan and other organizations to tackle Hancock's critical issues. The city council will review Hancock's proposal later this month with a final vote in November. an explosion in an apartment building in East Alameda Avenue in Aurora on Saturday morning forced many residents in the complex to evacuate. According to the CBS story, on Monday, most residents expected to return home once utility services were turned back on. Only five families thought they had lost their homes. In the latest update from 9 News, Parkside Collective informed its residents that the building recovery will actually take several months and residents will not be able to live there at this time. The email also mentions that residents will not have to pay rent as of September 10th. Residents remain unsure as to when they may be able to collect their belongings. The cause of the explosion remains unknown. Aurora Fire continues to look into the explosion. Interstate 70 reopened on Wednesday night after the National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning for the Grizzly Creek fire scar. The warning prompted closures for both directions. According to the National Weather Service, the rounds of rain affected parts of Eagle County and Garfield counties. The forecast for today shows a high of 78 and a low of 52. The National Weather Service expects scattered thunderstorms and showers would develop in late morning hours. These storms could produce wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour and a brief heavy rainfall. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. The 2022 Colorado Latino Policy Agenda is the largest nonpartisan poll of Latino voters ever conducted in Colorado and is intended to provide a representative snapshot of views of the second largest and second fastest growing ethnic voting bloc in the United States. Representative of the four organizations that conducted the poll presented their findings yesterday morning on the state capitol steps. After the presentation, KGNU's Dave Ashton caught up with Alex Sanchez, president and CEO of Voces Unidas de las Montañas and Voces Unidas Action Fund.
I think some of the quick takeaways from our poll in 2022, again, the largest in the state's history of Latinas and Latinos, are economic issues. Out of the top five issues that Latinas and Latinos cared about, the top four are economic issues, both for state and for federal level. Another interesting issue within the top five is gun safety and discrimination. There's a lot of data around, you know, Latinas and Latino families being fearful that their son or daughter could be the next victim of a mass shooting. There's a lot of policy viewpoints within Latinas and Latinos where overwhelmingly amounts of Latinas and Latinos, regardless of party, regardless of how they self-identify politically, are supportive. And that includes the whole gamut from housing policy to reproductive health to just general health access to environmental justice to water quality. One of the issues that Voces Unidas cares deeply about is Latinas and Latinos who are living in mobile home park communities, because in the Central Mountain region, we have more than 79 mobile home parks. What the data showed is that 40% of residents who live today in mobile home park communities cannot drink their water. That should be criminal, right? And so also in the data, we also have a sense for all Latinos across the state. 84% of Latinos across the state said that they support changes to state law to ensure that water quality is regulated by state lawmakers to ensure that residents in mobile home park communities actually have access to water they can drink and it's safe for them and their families.
That was Alex Sanchez, president and CEO of Voces Unidas de las Montañas, speaking with KGNU's Dave Ashton after yesterday's presentation of the 2022 Colorado Latino Policy Agenda. The Supreme Court will be reviewing a case that could overturn landmark legislation that protects indigenous youth. This has prompted civil liberties groups and tribes in Wyoming to get involved. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Kyle Mackey of KHOL reports.
The ACLU of Wyoming is weighing in on a U.S. Supreme Court case that could overturn the Indian Child Welfare Act, a law that protects indigenous children from forced removal from their families and tribes. The court will start reviewing the legislation in November, and the Wyoming ACLU branch recently sent the justices a brief, along with 13 other states, urging them to uphold it.
It basically ensures that all efforts are made to maintain those ties and connections between Indian children and their heritage.
Stephanie Amiet is legal director of the Wyoming ACLU and an enrolled member of the Oglala Lakota Sioux tribe in South Dakota. She says Indigenous children have been disproportionately removed from their families by state welfare agencies. Congress created the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, in 1978 to tackle the problem and to give tribes jurisdiction over their own children. If ICWA is overturned, Amiet says more and more Indigenous youth could lose ties to their culture.
Over time, as we see this progress, it will dwindle the future existence of Indian tribes within the United States.
In addition to the ACLU's efforts, the Eastern Shoshone Tribe of the Wind River Indian Reservation has joined 325 tribes nationwide in urging the Supreme Court to support the law, while the Northern Arapaho Tribe is asking the Wyoming State Legislature to enshrine the same rights in state law. Kyle Mackey, KHOL News.
And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hannah Lee Myers, and as always, I'm joined by longtime cannabis correspondent Leland Rucker. Leland, thank you so much for being here.
Always good to be here.
Okay, so today we are going to give an update on an initiative that's marijuana-related in Denver and dig into the results of a stigma-related marijuana study. I know you've got stuff to say about that. Fill us in first on that citizen initiative. What's going on there?
The backers of a Denver Citizens Initiative that would have taxed consumer marijuana for children's programs was pulled at the last minute by MySpark Denver, which is the group that was backing the initiative. And the money would have gone to after-school programs, programs out of school, something that everybody's for, but very similar to one that was on the ballot last year statewide, and that one was turned down. This initiative was pulled, and the leader of the initiative said that the group compromised with the city and the marijuana industry, which was objecting greatly to this, to add a larger sales tax to marijuana just in the city of Denver. It would have added a 4.5% sales tax on all purchases within city limits, and it would have given that money to eligible families for sports programs, after school programs. But the advocates, the people who were behind it, when they pulled it, they also took time to mention that a smaller after-school pilot program will start next year for 4,000 Denver public school students who qualify. And I'm just guessing here, but I think that maybe MySpark Denver listened when told that you really can't tax just one industry just to get the money that you want. That's just a guess, but that seems to be the indication that they got the money elsewhere.
Huh, so they pulled the initiative, so no vote on that specific
right.
one.
Okay. Right, that one's gone.
Okay, and now you're going to tell us a little bit about a study. We love studies here on the Cannabis Report, and there's a new one here looking at kind of this stigma about the lazy stoner. I know we've talked about this before, but it's a huge issue. If you have any interest in cannabis at all, you can't avoid this stigma conversation.
No, you know the lazy stoner, the person that sits on the couch and inhales Cheetos and watches sports, the dude in the Big Lebowski, or Argyle in Stranger Things, if you keep it up with TV, individuals depicted as lazy, apathetic, and stoned. A new study published in the International Journal of Neuropsychopharmacology looked at 274 adults and adolescents who reported using cannabis 1 to 7 times per week over the course of 3 months. And the guy said, we were surprised to see that there was really little difference between cannabis users and non-users when it came to lack of motivation or lack of enjoyment, even among those who use cannabis every day. This is contrary to the stereotypical portrayal we see on TV and in movies. And a lot of that has to do with advertising, and advertising the pot makes you lazy is beneficial to certain parties. And the study found otherwise. Quote, there's been a lot of concern that cannabis use in adolescence might lead to worse outcomes than cannabis use during adulthood. But our study suggests that adolescents are no more vulnerable than adults to the harmful effects of cannabis on motivation, the experience of pleasure, or the brain's response to reward. And, you know, according to the World Health Organization, cannabis is the third most commonly used psychoactive substance in the world after alcohol and nicotine. In 2013, an estimated 181 million people, 181 million people use cannabis for non-medical purposes. And the highest rates of cannabis use, of course, reported among adolescents and young adults. You know, remember that this study is a questionnaire, so the answers are what people in the survey felt. We're just getting their answers. But as one of the authors wrote, we're so used to seeing lazy stoners on our screens that we don't stop to ask whether they're an accurate representation of cannabis users. Our work implies that this is in itself a lazy stereotype, and that people who use cannabis are no more likely to lack motivation or be lazier than people who won't. If a person is lazy and they use marijuana, they might be lazier. I don't know, but they will be lazy. That's just part of the deal. And I think that further studies are definitely needed. We still need to, you know, learn more about this. This is just a study of 274 people who answered a questionnaire. We really need to get some answers about all this.
And I think different people are affected differently, so everybody's
always
different. And also tolerance over time. The first time someone uses cannabis versus the 50th time might be totally different. And we don't see anything referenced like that in studies that I've seen thus far.
No, and that's why we, you know, we continue to have studies, and I hope we can finally get some real answers. There's obviously something going on out there, but we need to find out exactly what it is.
Complicated answers. Nobody likes them, but that's probably where we should end up. Well, Leland, thank you so much for your insight. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Hanalee Myers.
It's time for Radio Nibbles, and John Lindorf is here with Blair Norman, the president of Community Food Rescue. Good morning to you both.
Oh, good morning, Shannon, and welcome everybody around the big KGNU breakfast table. And we're here this morning to talk apples and a wonderful local project, which it does a lot of great things all at once. Welcome to KGNU.
Thank you.
Tell us about Community Food Rescue, which does a lot of different things at the same time.
Right. Well, we're Community Fruit Rescue.
I'm sorry.
It is difficult to. We started the same time that Boulder Food Rescue did, so we're
confused. Similar spirit.
Right, exactly. We get contacted by local homeowners who have trees and fruit trees in their yard that they can't handle all the fruit. And we are asked to schedule a harvest. We get volunteers to come. And it's a community event. Everybody gets to take some home. And what's left over goes to a food pantry. Right now we're taking the majority of our apples to Community Food Share in Louisville, and they have 41 partner agencies that they then deliver the food to.
And those are the, you know,
food banks,
apples and pears primarily,
right? Apples and pears, right, exactly. And then people get to take some home, and then what's not edible, in our opinion, goes to the Wild Animal Sanctuary and other local goats and pig farms.
And anything that doesn't fit into that can become compost.
Right.
But the other big thing about this is bears. You know, this time of year, bears are coming down from the foothills trying to fatten up, and they see a good source of food, and it usually ends badly for the bears.
Right, right. We don't want them to have any kind of interaction with the homeowner or anybody else in Boulder walking down a path or getting caught by a bear in a fruit tree. And so we would like to try to remove that attractant.
And folks, you know, there's apple trees all over Boulder County and in the region, in part because this was a huge orchard intensive area. There was also a huge Seventh-day Adventist community in Boulder. So North Boulder and that whole area, a lot of Seventh-day Adventist families, and they all were into, that's why you'll find a lot of fruit trees, rhubarb patches that are like, you know, 25 years old and that kind of thing. So we have apples today, and we don't know what kind of apple this is, but we're going to have a quick taste test here.
And I'm going to describe that apple. Yeah, well, it's obviously very crispy. It's a green apple with a bit of kind of reddish pink.
A little bit of tartness, but it really is softer than I expected. And I'm
didn't sound very soft.
Well,
it didn't.
But it really has a great flavor, and we also have another apple to taste. That one looks a little more sour.
It's a little tartar. It's red, which would lead you to believe it was a little sweeter. But
I'm gonna get in on this too.
Yeah, you can't go by the color with a lot of
right.
these.
Right. Oh yeah, tart's a word. Mm.
So yeah. So you get all these apples, but sometimes you need to do something with them.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, that was surprising.
Which segues perfectly into what I have in my hand.
Yes.
Cider.
Amongst other things, it becomes cider. You brought in some cider that you...
We did. We pressed this last year and with our...
Oh, that's delicious.
Oh. Nothing added, just apples.
No sugar.
No
this
sugar.
This is nice
at all.
And sweet and wonderful.
And you're doing a class this week, right?
I am. I've got a canning class at Nude Foods. There are a couple positions are still available for you to join, and just go to our website, www.fruitrescue.org, and you can sign up.
And that way you can, you know, figure out how to make pie filling. Applesauce, apple butter, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's right. Basically applesauce that got forgotten on the stove and it gets all brown and caramelized and silky.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so not many peaches, huh?
Not many peaches. We do have...
because nobody wants to give you...
right, exactly. People like to keep their peaches for themselves. we have had... we've had a couple of... peach harvest, but not as many.
And some plums.
And some plums, exactly. We did have someone reached out for us to harvest their grapes the other day, so we'll see how that goes.
Really?
But mostly apples and pears right now.
And this has only been going a couple of years, right?
2014 we started, and we formed a loose group of concerned citizens, and then it morphed into Community Fruit Rescue. Yeah.
So we're winding this up. The other thing I wanted to mention that dovetails with this was the, what's the other organ? The heirloom?
Boulder Apple Tree Project.
Right. If you have a tree in your backyard that looks like it's ancient, there's another group that ties in with this that identifies that could be rare or even what they thought were extinct varietals of apples that were grown here, and they can identify them and try to save them as cultivars.
Right.
So what's the best thing you've eaten lately? Anything exciting?
A great apple.
Well, there you go. And the best thing I've eaten lately, there's a place on 28th Street called Curry and Kebab.
And I was going to check that out, like yesterday, and I didn't. Okay.
And, you know, it's hard to resist the, you know, they do a great combo meal, you know, but it's limited to, like, the greatest hits of Indian food. But they have some other things on the menu that are really cool. And there's this Baignan curry. Essentially, they take roasted eggplant and puree it with cream and use that as the sauce. For curries, for chicken and other things. And good Lord, it was good. It's really good.
That restaurant lost by the tie-breaking vote of one of my kids who wanted pizza instead yesterday, but I was just about to go eat that. So, well, I'm glad to hear the recommendation.
Overrule them.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you, Blair Norman of Community Fruit Rescue, for coming on the program for Radio Nibbles.
Thank you.
Every week.
Great. We're always looking for tree owners to
and tree,
come harvest.
And tree harvesting volunteers.
Yes, definitely.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Luis Licon, Claire Purnell, Alexis Kenyon, Dave Ashton, Hannah Lee Myers, Leland Rucker, Eric Gladys, and John Lindor for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to make a comment about something you heard on KGNU, you can give us a call to our comment line. That's 303-447-9911. We play those messages back on Tuesday mornings during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for A Public Affair. That's just after the news headlines from the BBC.